to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Amen. Another funny little side note, the message my dad preached Wednesday night about intensity. I was on after the service. We were driving to a restaurant to go eat with him, and I told Sarah, I was like, I'm gonna have to get on to my dad. And she looked at me like really funny. So I told her why, but when we got to the restaurant, I sat across from him. I was like, Dad, I was like, I've got to kind of get on to you. He's like, why? I was like, I'm a young preacher. I have not been preaching that long. I was like, I knew I was going to have to be preaching Sunday night. And Tuesday night I was praying, and Wednesday night I was praying, and I felt like I kept tapping into the same vein. I felt like God was really had a great message. And I was like, man, this might be an actual decent message. And I was like, so then I come to church Wednesday night, and I prayed in pre-service prayer almost the exact same thing Tuesday night, and I'm really feeling good about it. And my dad gets up here and preaches my exact same thoughts. Way better, but my exact same thoughts. And I told him, I was like, how dare you ruin a good message? I thought it was going to be good. But then unbeknownst to me, and the reason I'm sharing this, I feel like just the way God works. But unbeknownst to me, my dad turned to me and he started laughing. He goes, you want to hear something else that's funny? And I was like, what's that? And he goes, Brother Worst came up to me after service and almost said the exact same thing. And I was like, man, God is surely is good. Amen. So that we needed that message too. We need every message, but that one was what we needed. Amen, amen. In Acts chapter number 2, beginning at verse number 1, said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting in. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them the utterance. In verse number 37, excuse me, it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, it's unto your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen, amen. As I was praying, I'm not entirely sure what I was going to preach. Like I said, my dad took it, but I just felt like God really dealt with me in prayer on Tuesday, Wednesday. It's kind of ties into the same thing, but really especially this afternoon. Now I'm just going to preach to y'all kind of three different things. Get it, keep it, share it. Get it, keep it, share it. With the help of the Lord. Let's all raise our hands and preach here and pray here tonight for this service. In Jesus' name, God, speak and talk to us. I pray, God, that we can help someone here tonight, God. Help someone and move in this service, Jesus. Let your Spirit move in after it's all said and done, God. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's put our hands together and give God a good hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, if y'all promise to help me preach, y'all can be seated. Amen. The Holy Ghost is probably without a doubt, is the most important thing to any man or any woman in this entire world. It's without a doubt. I mean, some of the young men or young ladies, we would argue and be like, oh, you know, finding a girlfriend, finding a boyfriend, that's important. That is an important factor. But that's not important. Getting the Holy Ghost and your soul being saved is important. Without the Holy Ghost, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I know there's debates out about, oh, is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Oh, my friend, there is one. There is one. In the Bible, in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 9, it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We must have the Holy Ghost. In John chapter number 3, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter unto the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. We can see, clearly see in these passages that without being born again, we are none of his. We cannot enter into heaven unless we are born again of water and of the Spirit. In Luke chapter number 10, we see that God keeps a book for everyone who has the Holy Ghost. In Luke 10, verse 17, it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Some people might question, but how do I get my name written in this book? Repent, be baptized, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be born again of water and of the Spirit. This is how you get into the Lamb's Book of Life. In Acts chapter number 1, in verse number 5, it says, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And over here in Luke chapter number 10 and 17, it says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And then further down he says, because your names are written in heaven. And we see over in Acts chapter number 5 where God is telling them what kind of power he's going to give them after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. If you have the Holy Ghost, you have this same power that God is talking about. You have this same power that's written in Acts chapter number 1. I very distinctly remember a message that Brother Newman preached in Katy long time ago. And he was preaching, and he had everybody in the church. He had them say, repeat after me, and ye shall have power. And they're like, power. And he's like, no, you're not doing it right. You shall have power. And they're like, yeah, power. And he goes, no. He goes, you don't understand this kind of power. This ain't power. It's a little bit of power. This is power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power over every spiritual enemy. Power over every spirit of doubt. Power over every spirit of fear. Power over every sickness, disease that you might have. Over everything that is this kind of power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. It's not, like I said, it's not a physical power, but this is a spiritual power of after God of living inside of you. This is that same power. You can have the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Excuse me. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into that same lake of fire. There is a hell to shun, and there is a heaven to gain. As the Bible clearly it keeps track of every person whose name is written in that book of life, but it also says here whose name is not written in that in the Lamb's book of life. In Acts chapter number 2, God tells us how we can get our names added to this book of life. This is the positive. God always gives us a way out. When there seems like there is no way, there is a way through God. When God says, when Satan comes and presents you, hey, there's no other way. This way is better. When he comes, as we so heard this morning, he's coming and he feeds nothing to you but lies. You ain't gonna make it, child of God. You can't hold your walk with God. This is fake. This ain't real. There's no hell. There's no heaven. You can't, there's no way. There might be a hell, but you're not destined to go to heaven. You can't make it. But God gave us a way in Acts chapter number 2 and verse 38. We already read it. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But God didn't stop there. This was not for just back then. This was not just for hundreds of years ago. He then continues, for the promise is unto you, but it's also unto your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen, amen. In John chapter number 3 and verse number 5, Jesus answered, saying, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee that ye must be born again. And as we've iterated before, in order to make it into heaven, you must be reborn again of the Spirit and of water. Jesus said it best in Luke chapter number 13. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall surely likewise perish. So unless you have the Holy Ghost, you will perish. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, or God, what if I do this? God, what if I've been good to people? What if I've done this for so many people? He's going to go through his books and be like, I don't see your name. You were not reborn of water and of the Spirit. There's no remedy, child of God. If you're going to be saved, you must repent of your sins, be baptized in Jesus' name, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Excuse me. As the body of the church, we have to realize that this is the most valuable thing in today's day and age. Even back then, it was the most valuable thing for them back then. Saint, this, if this was not valuable, we would still not be in the, like, if I can put it like this, the most long-lasting war of all time in the spirit. Day after day, Satan attacking him. He's been in war with God from the very beginning, from when God cast him out of heaven when he tried taking it over with the third of the angels. It's easy to come to church and just fall in doing the motions during pre-service prayer. It's easy to come to church and fall in the motions during worship. We've heard it put, when we don't stand the pattern, we just fall under the motions. We come in and worship and we clap our hands, but we don't realize what we have in us. We don't realize the Holy Ghost that we have in us. My dad once preached a message and he said, how you got it is how you're gonna keep it. How you got it is how you keep it. We personally saw Brother Henry service after service after service, fighting for the Holy Ghost, praying, stammering lips, coming time after time after again. And he would get so close, but it's like something would just fight us. A spirit would fight us. It was a war. But with diligence, Brother Henry just kept fighting, seeking God for the Holy Ghost. Brother Henry, I'm telling you, how you got it is how you're going to keep it. If you don't fight for the Holy Ghost that you got, it's no longer going to mean anything to you. For you young people, if it's not the most important thing on your list, it's easy to forget it and let it go. It's easy to put things first over your Holy Ghost if it's not number one on your list. It's difficult. The devil knows, but he has but a short time and a short period. You might have the Holy Ghost, but that doesn't scare him. He's not going to give up. He's going to come after you time and time after again. I was a young person once. I promise, I was a young person once. I mean, I still am. But I understood the pressures of what, even though I was homeschooled, I was not subject. I would go to the park every day, and I'd play basketball with tons of worldly people. But I understood the attacks. There was multiple times my parents wouldn't tell me, but they asked me. There was a guy in particular, a coach, who wanted both me and my brother to join his basketball team. He told my brother personally, but they never told me about it. And then there was multiple times, I know what it's like on going to college, being older. I don't want this to sound bad, but it doesn't matter if you're good looking or if you're bad looking. The devil has a way to put a little miss something in your way. It doesn't matter if they're the most attractive girl in the world and there's a better looking guy with tons of muscles, and you might not have that. But some way, the devil knows, that guy over there, he's not in church, but you are. And if that's what it takes to get you out of the church, that's what he's going to do. I've witnessed that personally. There was multiple times. I didn't feel like I was anything special, and there was tons of other guys in that college, athletes and stuff. But I personally faced that battle. It was not easy. It's not easy as a young person. There was multiple times, which it's another story for another time, but being homeschooled, I was not open up to the trials of drugs, alcohol, or anything like that. But there was just one time, and I don't want this to sound bad, but there was one time I was in college in a speech class, and there was about 10 of us in there because it was a mini Maymester, so it was a two-week-long course. They wrapped an entire college course in 2 weeks. And, of course, we were in there 4-plus hours a day, 5 days a week. We all got pretty tight. But there was one girl in particular. There was two girls in particular who were highly trying to influence me in peer pressure. And it was not easy. And one of them was on, I think it's medical marijuana, I think is what it was. And there was one day where when she came to the whole class and she's like, you should try it. It'll make you feel good. Like, let's all just go outside and share it. When I didn't stand up from my desk, they all went outside and I just stayed sitting. And she personally came up to me and she's like, you're not going to come. I promise you. And I'm like, I'm not going to do it. And even though, and this is why I'm saying, I know y'all have heard this story again, and I don't even know why I'm saying it again. I just feel like to say it. But I'm telling you, child of God, that even though I had been in church my whole life, that peer pressure to me was real. It was literal. I had never tried it in my entire life. I had never done any of that. But when one of the most popular girls in this class is coming up to me and telling me, you should try this, I'm not going to do it. And the next words out of her mouth is, come on, man, you'll be the only loser in the class if you don't do it. You don't know how hard that is for a man's pride to hear that. I can't explain the feeling. I just knew in my heart what I was. I'd be like, well, you know, just so they will like me, I can do it once. I didn't do that, but those thoughts still do come into your mind because it's Satan. He wars against your mind. That is the most, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but that is the most serious battle you can face, is a war against your mind. You can war in your health. You can war with any, you can war with relatives, but whatever. But the most serious one is the war that is against your mind. He will come at you with depression. That's in your mind. You feel so depressed and so down all the time. That's not physical. That's your mind. That's your mind not knowing how you're going to get through the next day, just thinking, I'm not good at anything. I'm not going to be good at anything. God can't use me. I don't have any talent. He'll come at you with anxiety. Fear is a major one he'll come at you with. Doesn't matter what it might be. He can hit you with fear from all angles. Whether it's God's wanting to do something in you or your family, all of a sudden here comes a little bit of tick of fear, like, oh man, I just can't do it because I'm going to have to give it all to God. But this is such an important matter that I feel like if I take my hands off of it, I'm still going to, it's all going to go messed up and it's going to go crazy. But God works best when you're not in your comfort zone. God's probably over there just sitting like wishing he could come down and like smack your hands out. Be like, get away. Let me take control. But it's that fear that's messing with your mind. I remember personally, I would go to sleep at multiple nights, and I wouldn't be able to sleep, go to sleep till like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, because I would scare myself so, like, it's just silly. I'd shake in bed. I'd have like 3 covers over me and a pillow over my face. And this sounds weird, but I would have multiple pocket knives next to me because I was terrified of the dark. I was terrified of what was in the dark. But then someone would tell me stories of spirits, Brother Wurst, like of spirits and devils that they had fought because they felt like they were getting somewhere in the church. They were getting somewhere. They were moving on. They were advancing. Revival was coming into the church. And they said, but whenever revival came, they would fight spirits. And that terrified me because I could feel that coming up in our church. I could feel it coming. And I would lay in bed and I'd feel like I'm hearing footsteps. And I'd start trembling and shaking and pouring sweat. But God has no place with the spirit of fear. With no spirit of fear. He gives us peace, love, and a sound mind. Now I remember one time, and it was weird because it was some Baptist lady told me this scripture across a video for school I was doing. And it was like back in the 1900s when she said it. I think it was, I don't remember exactly the year, but she just said, whenever you have fear, just remember, he is the peace that passeth all understanding. And all of a sudden, I felt like my world, when I got in my room, just started going completely dark. I couldn't see anything, and I started to feel like I was hearing footsteps. I started trembling and shaking again, and I went to do my same steps and put my pillow over my face, start the night over again, not going to sleep. And all of a sudden, I just pulled up my pillow, and I was like, God, you are the peace that passeth all understanding. And I rebuke this fear in the name of Jesus right now. I was only 14 years old. I was only 14, but it was real. And I would shake and tremble and sweat. And as soon as I said, God, you're the peace that passeth all understanding. And I rebuke this in the name of Jesus. I never had a problem with that again. I never had another issue with fear. And I moved forward. There was multiple battles I was going through spiritually, but as soon as I got over the fear one, it's like my spiritual walk with God just shot up from there as soon as I just captured the spirit of fear that was going on in my mind. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and love God tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I got quite a bit ahead of me, but I just felt like seeing some of that. But there's one part, child of God, that keeping the Holy Ghost is super important. There's no such thing as once saved, always saved. There's no such thing as coming to church, you get the Holy Ghost, and you get to chill and take a nap in the back as other people fight for someone else to get the Holy Ghost. It is a battle. It's how we've heard preached that this is a spiritual atmosphere. We can't just have someone who needs the Holy Ghost come in, the pastor preach, and all of a sudden they get the Holy Ghost without us tapping in tune as well and getting in tune with what God has for that same service. We've got to be in tune with the Holy Ghost and what the Spirit has to say. Amen. Paul said it best in 1 Corinthians that he died daily, on a daily basis. He did not just pray on Sundays and repent of his sins and then come in on Sunday night and Wednesday night and chill. He died Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, repenting of anything, any sins that he might have committed. Because he knew that if something would have happened and God would have came back and he did not die daily, his name erased out of the book of life. Amen, amen. You're not going to keep the Holy Ghost by coming to the church. As Brother Word, I kind of took this term from you, brother. It was a couple weeks ago. But Brother Wurst so aptly put it, you're not going to keep the Holy Ghost by coming to church and being a pew warmer. If all your job is just to come down and just fill a space in a pew, keep it warm for the next person, you're not going to keep the Holy Ghost after that. It ain't going to be long before the devil comes fishing your way, trying to get you out and showing you, hey, the Holy Ghost obviously ain't that important. Come on, come out here. I'll show you a better way. I'll show you a better time out there. You'll get out of church what you put in church. If you put in pre-service prayer a bunch of effort and you tap in tune to the Holy Ghost starting from the very first part of service, I'm going to give y'all a challenge. Next time we have pre-service prayer, give it your all. Put your very best. What you put in at altar call, I challenge you to go first and put it in pre-service prayer. And I promise, I challenge y'all to do that. And I want to see what happens in our next service. I want to see what you personally get out, because I guarantee what you put in, you will get out. If you put in faith and you put in expectancy before coming to church, and you come and you pray with faith and expectancy, God's going to do something that service. It won't be long before this church starts experiencing a revival growth in this place. It won't be long before we start hearing about all these miracles happening. And that time and time again, people coming in and being healed in their bodies. It won't be long before financial issues start resolving themselves out. I'm expecting a miracle myself after this message I heard. I believe God can do anything and everything if we first come with an expectancy in this house. Amen, amen, amen. But it's not just about keeping it. It's not just about getting it. It's also about sharing it. So I know we're talking about having a revival. But how are we going to have a revival if we're not sharing it? Your testimony is, I've been praying about this too, your testimony is highly important to your story, to the others out there in that world. I know people who have had problems. You've had problems with alcohol, drugs. I know other people who have tons of issues, certain kinds of addictions. There's other people out there just like that. They don't know what they're looking for. They're trying to fill it with other needs of this world. You got what they're looking for. You got the Holy Ghost. You got their longing, their need. They just need you to tell them about it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have a couple statistics to read for y'all. And I know it's a little different tonight. But that as of 4:08 p.m. today, there were a total of 258,197 births that had happened as of just today. There was 108,470 deaths. There was a total population of 7,936,334,700 in the entire world as of 4:08 p.m. today. And if y'all can go on and Google world population counter, and it literally is flicking up so fast, just growing, 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 growing. But I wrote these statistics down to hopefully help y'all realize that what y'all have is so important, and you just need to share it. But I want y'all to hear some more of these statistics. But first, let me mention something. I think we have roughly about 30 people here in this church. What if all of us, just passed out one church card? That is 30 people with a church card in their hands. If 100% of the people came from our one church card, that is 30 visitors here in our church. If 50% of people came from all 30 of us passing out one church card, that's 15 visitors. And if 20% came, I think that's about six visitors. If just 15% of people came from all of us passing out one church card, going through a drive-thru, church card, going through to a restaurant, church card, going to the grocery store, church card. What if some of us happened to pass out too? That's not that difficult. Church card. That is visitors and people coming here. Now let me read y'all the rest of these statistics. In the state of Kansas, there were 2.93 million people as of 2021. In the city of Wichita, there are 392,059 people in the city of Wichita alone. 15 minutes away, over 300,000 people. I think in the metropolitan area, there's over 500,000 people in this area. In the city of Andover, there's 13,756 people just in the city of Andover. 10 minutes away, if that. In our little city of Augusta, there is 9,309 people in the city of Augusta. Now, when I look at that, this is what I wanted to present to y'all today, and I'm coming very quickly to an end. But when I look at that, I see, which we have about 30 people here, so I kind of just put it like this. There is 9,000 and something over that lost souls in the city of Augusta. There's something 9,000 souls of people who need saved just in this city alone. That doesn't include the 13,000 plus over in Andover, the people in El Dorado and Towanda and all around. That doesn't include the 300 plus thousand over in Wichita. Just in our little area, over 300,000 to 400,000 souls that need God. But in this particular area, something that can take you just a couple minutes just to drive out of, there is 9,000 people going to hell if they don't hear about the Holy Ghost. If they're not told, and that could be, that this could be the thing, this is what I want, I just want you to start like hope, putting this in your heart. It could just take your testimony. It could just take you just telling them about God. It could just take you handing them a church card. You might not even have to talk to them some. That is better, they can hear of your testimony. But if you're in a quick drive-thru, like, hey, come visit my church. That's one soul. That's one soul. What if you're scared, like, Brother Micah, what if they reject me? What if they say, I'm not interested in church? At least you tried. Because what if you would not have handed in that church card and you were their one ticket to church? What if they don't ever have another opportunity again and you were that one ticket that failed to give them that church card? 9,000 people who need the Holy Ghost and 30 people with a mission. We have a mission. Let me turn over to in Romans chapter number 1 because I think this really, you see here, I did not put this in my notes. This is to tell you about a testimony and just telling people about the Holy Ghost. But if you get excited about your Holy Ghost, how you need to get excited, sometimes it won't take you telling them about it. Because here in Romans chapter number 1, let me find it here. Amen. It is, let's see, for therein is the righteousness of God, for the invisible things, because they had no. Amen. Let's lift our hands and love God right now while I find this verse. Let's pray, church. Jesus. Jesus, we love you here today, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But in Romans, it talks about, I can't find it right now, and I don't want to lose y'all, but in Romans chapter number 1, it talks about how the church in Rome had been on fire for God, and Paul was talking about how he was happy for them, and because he was saying, your word, it's not just you telling me what's going on. I'm hearing about your testimony and what's going on in your red-hot apostolic church out there. I'm hearing it from other people. Your testimonies and your services, it's spreading to out there. That's another reason it is super and highly important to get on fire for God. It's super and highly important that every single service that we have a move of God here, that we don't reject what God wants to do here, but that we tap in tune. Because what goes on in here will shed abroad out there. If we just connect in the Holy Ghost, God's going to let it flow to other people. God's going to let our story go in throughout the city of Augusta. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we can all stand here tonight. I know I talked about the spirit of fear, the spirit of doubt. You'll start questioning yourself. It's really easy to come up with all of these and question all of these, especially on outreach. You're too scared to talk to someone. What if they reject you? What if they slam the door in your face? What if they say they're already going to church? That's just a battle in your mind. Do you think Satan's going to make it easy to where you can invite someone to God? Do you think he wants you to give that person the truth? If his job is to want that person to not be saved, to be lost, he ain't going to make it easy for you just to give them a church card, or he's not going to play easy in your mind either. In Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But God gave you, child of God, the power to overcome the enemy." Again, how we already iterated in Acts chapter 1, you shall have power. You have the power. Brother Henry, you have the power. You got the Holy Ghost. Almost everyone in here, you've got the power. Now let's go share it to Augusta. Let's get some more souls in this church. Let's have revival in this church here tonight. Jesus, we need revival. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This has been a problem ever since the Bible. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, it says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." I say 9,000 people in Augusta, that's plenteous, but our laborers are few. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." God is calling us to be laborers in LT. Let's go share this gospel to the world out there. Let's go see some people get the Holy Ghost and let it start right here in Augusta. We don't have to worry about anywhere else. We've got 9,000 people right here. This church can't even sit 9,000 people. So we have a lot to be worried about, because God's going to do it for us. God's going to do it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's love the Lord here tonight. Oh, God, we worship you. If we can gather around the front, let's pray to God to make us be able to share our story. Let's God to help us to make